قال رب اشرح لي صدري.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, Lord, open my breast for me. Moses, peace be upon him, said, Lord, open my breast for me.
Moses, peace be upon him, prayed that he might be granted the inner strength and courage required to shoulder his responsibilities. As a sequel, he was being entrusted with a great mission, which called for enormous courage and fortitude. Hence, he prayed that God might invest him with patience, fortitude, forbearance, fearlessness, firm determination, and the like, qualities that were essential for the furtherance of his mission.
وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي
And ease my task for me.
وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي
And loosen the knot from my tongue.
يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي
So that they may understand my speech. So that they may understand my speech.
According to the Bible, Moses, peace be upon him, said, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Exodus 4:10. The Talmud contains a lengthy account to the effect that when Moses, peace be upon him, was being brought up as a child in Pharaoh's house, he wore Pharaoh's crown. This led to inquiries about whether the child had done so deliberately or if it was merely a childish prank. It was finally resolved, however, that the child be presented with a piece of gold and a ball of fire. Both these objects were placed before Moses, peace be upon him, and he grasped the ball of fire and put it into his mouth. Although onlookers managed to save his life, it nonetheless caused Moses, peace be upon him, to stammer for the rest of his life. This story, derived from Israelite sources, has crept into the Muslim works of Quranic exegesis. The whole account, however, seems downright irrational. For even if one accepts that the child held the ball of fire in his palm, it would nonetheless have been impossible for him to put it into his mouth. Any child who tries to hold a piece of fire in his hand is bound to throw it away as soon as he feels its intense burning heat. It would therefore simply be impossible for him to put it into his mouth. As for the present Quranic account concerning Moses, peace be upon him. All that it says is that Moses was conscious of being ineloquent. He also feared that if he had to speak in the course of discharging his duties as a prophet, he would perhaps be overcome by his impediment, especially as he had no prior public speaking experience. Therefore, he prayed that God may endow him with eloquence that he might express himself effectively. It may be recalled that on one occasion, Pharaoh ridiculed Moses, peace be upon him, for his inability to speak well. He is a contemptible wretch who can scarcely express himself clearly. It was Moses' own consciousness of this weakness, peace be upon him, which had made him pray to God to appoint his brother Aaron, peace be upon him, as his helper. And my brother Aaron, he is more eloquent in speech than I. Send him with me as a helper. Al-Qasas 28:34. It seems that later on, Moses, peace be upon him, overcame this weakness, developing as he did an effective public speaking ability. His speeches of later time, found both in the Bible and the Quran, provide ample testimony to his outstanding capacity as a speaker. It does not stand to reason that God should appoint someone who stammered to the office of messenger. Messengers have always been the best specimens of humanity, outstanding in all respects, their facial features, personality, and other abilities bearing this out. Both their external appearances and their inner qualities have always attracted people's hearts and minds. Never has God raised a messenger who suffered from a physical deformity which would reduce him to an object of ridicule or contempt.
وَجَعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي
And appoint for me, from my household, someone who will help me bear my burden.
هارون أخي
Aaron, peace be upon him, my brother. Aaron, peace be upon him, my brother.
According to the Bible, Aaron, peace be upon him, was 3 years older than Moses, peace be upon him.
أشدد به أزري
Strengthen me through him.
وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي
And let him share my task.
كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا
That we may abundantly extol your glory.
ونذكرك كثيرا.
And may remember you much.
إنك كنت بنا بصيرا.
Verily, you have always watched over us.
قال قد أوتيت سؤلك يا موسى.
He said, Moses, peace be upon him, your petition is granted.
ولقد مننا عليك مرة أخرى.
We have again bestowed our favor upon you. We have again bestowed our favor upon you.
God reminds Moses, peace be upon him, of the numerous favors that have been bestowed on him from his birth up until the current moment. These favors are mentioned in greater detail in Surah Al-Qasas. What is stated here amounts to no more than an allusion to these favors so as to make Moses conscious of the mission, peace be upon him, for which he was born, for which he had been brought up under governmental care, and which was being entrusted to him at that particular moment.
إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ.
Recall when we indicated to your mother through inspiration.
أَنِ اقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَاقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌّ لِّي وَعَدُوٌّ لَّهُ وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِّنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي.
Put him into a chest and then throw him in the river. The river will throw him up on the shore, and then an enemy of mine and an enemy of his will take him. And I spread my love over you in order that you might be reared in my sight.
إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ يَكْفُلُهُ فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونًا فلبثت سنين في أهل مدين ثم جئت على قدري يا موسى.
Recall when your sister went along saying, shall I direct you to one who will take charge of him? Thus we brought you back to your mother so that her heart might be gladdened and she might not grieve. Moses, peace be upon him, recall when you slayed a person. We delivered you from distress and made you go through several trials. Then you stayed for several years among the people of Midian, and now you have come at the right moment as ordained. I have chosen you for my service.
اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري.
So go forth, both you and your brother, with my signs, and do not slacken in remembering me.
اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
Go both of you to Pharaoh, for he has transgressed all bounds.
فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى.
And speak to him gently. Perhaps he may take heed or fear Allah. And speak to him gently. Perhaps he may take heed or fear Allah.
A person abandons evil and turns to the right path for one of two reasons. Either he is convinced of the right way because of someone's persuasion, or he takes heed as a result of himself being conscious of the disastrous consequences of his evil actions.
قَالَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى.
The two said, Lord, we fear he may commit excesses against us or transgress all bounds. The two said,
It would appear that this incident relates to the time when Moses, peace be upon him, had already reached Egypt and when Aaron, peace be upon him, had begun to assist him in his mission. Presumably, before proceeding to Pharaoh, both Moses and Aaron, peace be upon them, had made their fears about the evil that might befall them known to God.
قال لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى.
He said, "Have no fear. I am with you, hearing and seeing all."
فأتياه فقولا إنا رسولا ربك فأرسل معنا بني إسرائيل ولا تعذبهم قد جئناك بآية من ربك والسلام على من اتبع الهدى.
So go to him and say, "Behold, both of us are the messengers of your Lord. Let the children of Israel go with us, and do not chastise them. We have come to you with a sign from your Lord, and peace shall be for him who follows the true guidance."
Inna qad uhiya ilayna anna al-'adhab 'ala man kadhaba wa tawalla.
It has been revealed to us that chastisement awaits those who called the lie to the truth and turned away from it. It has been revealed to us that chastisement awaits those who called the lie to the truth and turned away from it.
The Quranic account of the incident should be read in conjunction with those accounts in the Bible and the Talmud. This comparative study will clearly reveal the differences in the images of the prophets as portrayed in the Quran and in the Jewish religious tradition. According to the Bible, God told Moses, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses, peace be upon him, said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Exodus 3:10-11. Subsequently, even though God tried at length to persuade Moses of the same, encouraged him, and endowed him with miracles, Moses, peace be upon him, still said, "O my Lord, send, I pray, some other person." Exodus 4:13. The Talmudic account goes a step further. It states that the argument between God and Moses continued for 7 days, peace be upon him. God insisted on Moses accepting the prophetic mission, whereas Moses declined to do so on the grounds of his speech impediment, peace be upon him. Finally, God said that it was his will that Moses, peace be upon him, become a prophet. To this, Moses replied that God had sent angels to save Lot, peace be upon him, had assigned 5 angels when Hagar left the house of Sarah. So why was he then asking him to leave Egypt along with his favorite children, the Israelites? This so enraged God that he made Aaron a party to Moses' prophetic office and denied priesthood to the house of Moses by transferring it to the descendants of Aaron, peace be upon him. In view of this clear discrepancy between the two versions, it seems bold indeed for some scholars to claim that the Bible and the Talmud were the main sources from which the Quranic stories were derived.
Pharaoh said, "Moses, peace be upon him, who is the Lord of the two of you?" Pharaoh said,
here the Quran omits certain details of the story, in particular, how Moses, peace be upon him, arrived at Pharaoh's court and how he explained his teachings to him. These details are mentioned earlier in Al-Araf 7:108 and can also be found in Al-Shuara 26:10-33. Al-Qasas 28:28-40, and Al-Naziat at 79:15-36. For necessary information about Pharaoh, see Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 3, Al-Araf 7, Note 85, Paragraph 64.
Moses, peace be upon him, who is the Lord of the two of you?
Of the two brothers, Moses, peace be upon him, was the main person entrusted with the task of expounding the truth. Hence, Pharaoh addressed Moses rather than Aaron, peace be upon them. Another possible reason why Pharaoh addressed Moses, peace be upon him, rather than Aaron, peace be upon him, may be that Pharaoh wanted to deprive Aaron of the opportunity to use his rhetorical skills, the implication being that he wished to take advantage of Moses' handicap when it came to public speaking, peace be upon them. The purpose of the question posed by Pharaoh was to emphasize the fact that since he was sovereign of Egypt and its people, Moses had no business setting up anyone other than him as their lord. He alone, so Pharaoh believed, could be Lord of Egypt and of the Egyptians. Surah Al-Naziat records Pharaoh's claim, "I am your highest Lord," 79:24. The Quran also records elsewhere that Pharaoh publicly addressed his whole court, saying, "My people, do I not possess kingship of Egypt, and are these rivers not flowing under me?" Al-Zukhruf 43:51. On another occasion, Pharaoh vaingloriously boasted before his courtiers, "O chiefs, I know no deity of yours other than myself. O Haman, light me a kiln to bake bricks out of clay and construct a lofty palace that I might climb up to the God of Moses, peace be upon him." Al-Qasas 28:38. Elsewhere, the Quran mentions that Pharaoh rebuked Moses, saying, "If you take anyone other than me as a deity, I shall cast you into prison." Al-Shu'ara 26:29. This does not mean that Pharaoh was the only object of the Egyptian people's worship. We have already noted that Pharaoh's claim to be sovereign was grounded in his belief that he was the incarnation of the sun god, Ra. It has also been established historically that the national cult of the Egyptians consisted of the worship of many gods and goddesses. Hence, in point of fact, Pharaoh did not claim to be the only object of worship. He rather claimed, on a practical level, divine political lordship over the people of Egypt, and on a theoretical level, political lordship over all mankind. He was totally unprepared to accept the notion that any superior being could be regarded as the Lord, as one over and above him, or that anyone could come forward as his authorized representative and claim the authority to command and ask all, including Pharaoh, to obey the same. Some people have been misled into believing that Pharaoh denied the existence of God, or that he laid claim to being God himself. According to the Quran, however, Pharaoh believed that someone else governed the world above. If one reads carefully the Quranic verses Al-Mu'min 40:28-34 and Al-Zukhruf 43:53, it is evident that Pharaoh did not deny the existence of God, nor that of the angels. What he could not accept, however, was that God should have any authority to interfere with his political overlordship, or that any of God's messengers should claim the right to command him.
قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى.
He said, "Our Lord is He who gave everything its form and then guided it." He said, "Our Lord is He."
The thrust of Moses' statement, peace be upon him, is that he accepted God as his Lord in every sense of the term. He alone is the provider, the master, the Lord, the sovereign. In sum, Moses was not prepared to accept anyone other than God as his Lord.
He who gave everything its form and then guided it.
All that exists in the world, whatever its shape, is the creation of God alone. Everything derives its form and texture, its power and ability, and all its properties from God alone. Man's limbs, hands, legs, and so on were all created on a pattern best suited to make them properly serviceable. God created everything. Minerals, air, water, light, in short, everything, and gave it the particular shape required for it to play the role assigned to it in the overall scheme of things. Now, God did not simply create each thing on a certain pattern and leave it at that. Rather, He taught each created being how it should function and fulfill the purpose for which it had been created. It is God who taught the fish to swim and the birds to fly, the plants to blossom and the soil to produce vegetation. In sum, He not only created, but also provided guidance to everything in the universe as to how it should function. In the above sentence, which is crisp, pithy, and rich, Moses, peace be upon him, not only mentions God who is the object of his worship, but also explains why he accepted him as his Lord, and why none else could be acknowledged to be so. The statement embodies both the thesis and its supporting argument. The fact is that Pharaoh and all his subjects owe their lives to God, and none of them can survive even for a moment unless the different parts of their bodies function in accordance with the guidance that comes from God. In view of the above, Pharaoh's claim that he was the Lord of his subjects and the latter's acceptance of Pharaoh as their Lord both appear no more than an act of folly, a ludicrous joke. Furthermore, in this statement, Moses, peace be upon him, subtly makes the case for his own prophethood. an office as we have seen which Pharaoh rejected. Implicit in Moses' statement, peace be upon him, is the point that since God is the guide of the whole universe, one who directs everything in accordance with its needs and conditions, it is befitting of him alone that he provides the guidance to mankind. Since man cannot be guided in the same way as animals are, the best way to help man is for the choicest of their number to be selected by God and asked to make an appeal to their fellow men's rational faculties and in this manner show them the right way.
Pharaoh asked, "Then what is the state of the former generations?"
Pharaoh here points out that if it was God, as Moses claimed, peace be upon him, who created everything to perfection and who guided it to its role, and if there really was no Lord other than God, then this clearly also meant that the ancestors of yore who had worshipped deities other than God were in error. Were they really in error and deserved God's punishment? Were they all their venerable ancestors dumb, stupid people? This was the only response which Pharaoh could afford to put forth in reply to Moses' argument. It was a response based either on ignorance or mischief or both, for it was indeed possible that Moses' assertion, peace be upon him, which implied that his ancestors were in error, incensed him. At the same time, it is quite possible that Pharaoh's intent in making the above statement was to incite people against Moses, peace be upon him, by appealing to their natural feelings of love and veneration for their ancestors. This weapon has frequently been used by the opponents of the truth throughout the different periods of history, and on many occasions it proved effective in provoking ignorant people against the proponents of truth. At the time when these Quranic verses were revealed, this very weapon was being constantly employed against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is therefore especially relevant to mention Pharaoh's subterfuge against Moses here, peace be upon him.
قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, "Its knowledge is with my Lord, recorded in the book. My Lord does not err, nor does he forget." Moses, peace be upon him, said, "Its knowledge is with my Lord, recorded in the book. My Lord does not err, nor does he forget."
Moses' reply is full of wisdom, providing a good lesson for those who wish to propagate the truth and who wish to do so wisely. Pharaoh's intent, as noted earlier, was probably to incite the prejudice and hostility of his audience against Moses, peace be upon him, and through them, the prejudice and hostility of the people at large. Moses, peace be upon him, could indeed have replied that their ancestors were in error, bound to be cast into hell, but such a reply, regardless of its truth, would have served Pharaoh's cause rather than that of Moses. Instead, Moses, peace be upon him, replied with the utmost wisdom, saying something which was at once true, but which also frustrated Pharaoh's evil designs. He pointed out that howsoever their ancestors might have behaved, they had now completed their term of life and returned to God, and he, Moses, had no means of knowing the fullness of their actions, nor the intent behind those actions, so as to enable him to judge them. But the record of all the acts they committed during their lives was with God, who knew well all that they did, and who was also well aware of the motives behind those actions. For nothing escapes God's eye, nor does anything fade from his memory. It is for God and God alone to judge them. Indeed, he alone has the requisite knowledge to do so. None need worry as to what the attitude of their predecessors was to life, nor what manner of ultimate fate lay in store for them. People should be concerned instead with themselves. They should examine their own attitude to life and consider what kind of ultimate fate they are likely to meet as a result.
الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَهْدًا وَسَلَكَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلًا وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فأخرجنا به أزواجا من نبات شتى.
He, it is who spread the earth for you, and made in it paths for you, and sent down water from the sky, and then through it we brought forth many species of diverse plants. He.
It would appear that Moses' response, peace be upon him, concludes with the end of verse 52. The passage which follows, i.e. from verse 53 to verse 55, consists of an admonition. The Quran is full of instances where statements are made about past incidents or about future events. Such statements are followed either by a few sentences of exhortation to piety and righteousness, or by explanation or elaboration of those statements. The style of the text on such occasions indicates whether the statement in question was made by a human being or by God. It is useful to remember that this particular statement not only relates to the immediately preceding verse, "My Lord does not err, nor does he forget," but also to Moses' entire statement, peace be upon him, which opens with the words, "He, Moses, said, peace be upon him, our Lord is he who gave everything its form and then guided it." Verse 50.
كُلُوا وَارْعَوْا أَنْعَامَكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِنُّهَا.
So eat yourself and pasture your cattle. Surely there are many signs in this for men of understanding. So eat yourself and pasture your cattle. Surely there are many signs in this for men of understanding.
Those who are guided in their quest for the truth by sound reason are assisted by signs from God, and they're able therewith to find the way to the truth. For these signs convince such people that this universe has a Lord and that He alone and none else governs and controls it.